Being explaining the chapter 92, Tzadik Beis in Sefer Tehillim, which is Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. So we're explaining it, talking about in Adam Rishon giving thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The first part is sort of Adam Rishon personally speaking. As well, Adam Rishon saying about Hashem, Kisvachtani Hashem befalacha, Hashem made him happy. So we said that Adam Rishon thanked Hashem for showing him all the things that are going to happen in the future. Agav, there's something that I was supposed to speak about last week that I sort of had it in my notes and I forgot to say it over. It was a single interesting idea. It said the Adam Rishon saw all the future generations it's going to be, and he said he saw David HaMelech, and he took from his years and he gave it over to David HaMelech. So we spoke about that Barichas last week. But one of the pasuk that the Medrash brought over here was that when he gave 70 years from his years to David HaMelech, it says in the pasuk, Yomim al yemei melech toisif, days upon the days of the king were added, Shneisov kemay Davidar, years like generation and generation. So an interesting thing that you see from the Medrash over here is that how many years did Adam Rishon give to David HaMelech? 70. Right? So, and it's called, how many years did he give him? Shneisov kemay Davidar, like every generation. That's how many years he gave him, like every generation. So what do you see from here? That every generation is called 70 years. So it's an interesting Shiloh. I'm glad you can make it. Glad you can make it too. What is the definition of, when we talk about a dar, a generation, what's the definition of a generation? Mm-hmm. So over here in Pirkei Avos, it sounds like the definition of a generation is 70 years. Shneisu kamei dar v'dar. In other Mufarshim, we find in other places that the definition of a generation is other numbers. Rabbeinu Bachaye in a few places in Chumash says that a generation is, the word dar is equivalent to the word oilam, which is 50 years. The Rashbam in Parshas Lach Lecha, when Hashem gave Avram Avinu, he told him that they're going to be in a foreign land, slaves in a foreign land for 400 years. One nusach, the other nusach is, and the fourth generation is going to come back. So the Rashbam says, you see that if 400 years, and they're going to be slaves for 400 years, and the fourth generation is coming back, you see that every generation is, on average, 100 years. So a generation means 100 years. That's what the Rashbam says. I think the Ramban also in Parsha Shlach maybe says something like that also. There's an interesting Bahag. The Baal Halacha is Gedolus. In the introduction to the Bahag, he brings a medrash that says that the Torah was created 2,000 years before the world was created. And another medrash that says that the Torah was created tough kuf ayin dalad, which is 974 generations before the Torah was created. So he says, well, if you have 974 generations divided by, it is the same thing as 2,000 years. So you divide 9,074 years into 2,000, 9,074 generations into 2,000, you get be'erich. Bekitzer, he has a whole chesed over there that a generation means be'erich 2 years. A generation is 2 years, he says. Which is interesting because, like they say, like in the technology world, like by computers, they say like every 6 months is like a year. So it's like every 2 years is like a new generation. Everything is like completely different. Like you're living with a different situation in the world. Like it's a new generation.
So the Chiddush is that is actually relative.
Right.
Okay.
The Medrash Seicher Toiv. I found that the Tiferes Yisrael, Yisrael Lifshitz. He has Drashas Or HaChaim. It's printed at the back of Masechet Sanhedrin, and the Tiferes Yisrael on the back of Sanhedrin. And he is the only one that says that, like the Pirkei Eliezer, that a generation is 70 years. This is a famous Drasha from the Tiferes Yisrael where he talks about like archaeology and dinosaurs or whatever. Everyone likes to quote this Drasha from the Tiferes Yisrael. But there he says a generation means 70 years. And the last source I found was the Medrash Seicher Toiv in Tehillim. And I didn't write where it is, so good luck finding it. Where he writes that a generation is every 20 years. A generation is 20 years. And the Leshem brings down a pshat. You know, the Leshem was the grandfather of Rav Eliashiv. So the Leshem says, why 20 years? So it's because the Mishnah in Masechas Avos says that ben shmoneh asur l'chuppa, you're supposed to get married when you're 18, and then assuming you're going to have a kid right away, so 19 is going to be the first kid. And the Gemara says that bas tchila simin yafu l'banim, so first you have a daughter, and then the next year when you're 20 you have a son. So every 20 years is going to be the next generation. That's what the Leshem says. So you have 20 years generation. And the last source, which is not such a source, but it's an interesting thought, that this is from not from the Torah world. We have Thomas Jefferson writes that in one of his letters, Thomas Jefferson, you know, that one of the founding fathers of America, so he writes that he thinks that there should be a clause in the Constitution that they should have to rewrite it every generation. To discuss everything again and write everything new, not just like make a law and that's it forever. You every generation you redo it. And he says, how much is a generation? He says 19 years. So I guess he holds like this Medrash Seicher type. Just he doesn't hold a bas tchila. I don't know. I'll compare that's what I was supposed to speak about last week.
If he was Jewish, he was probably reformed.
No, he wasn't Jewish. Pashas, he wasn't Jewish. Well, he was a deist. I think he was religious, but like he didn't have like a specific religion or something. Maybe he was like a fish nominally Christian or something. Like this is something I wanted to speak about last week and I forgot to mention it. Al Kapanim, so Adam Rishon is speaking about all the things that Hashem did good for him, and then he sort of switches off and says Magad lo Masach Hashem and starts talking about Yemais HaMashiach and how the world is going to come to Yemais HaMashiach, where he says that we're going to see that it's a very obvious idea that before Yerushalayim k'may Esav, that we're in Yerushalayim are going to grow like grass, and we're atzitzu kol poli oven, and all the people that do bad stuff are going to like become, you know, big and big and bigger. That Hashem is only allowing them to grow in order for them to be destroyed. Yisham dam adeh, in order to destroy them. And then he starts talking about the destruction of the Yerushalayim. Kine yevecha Hashem, yine yevecha yevidu, they're going to be destroyed, right? They're gonna be dispersed, all the people that do bad. And now we're gonna talk back. Now we're going back to what's gonna happen to Klal Yisrael at that point in the Yemais HaMashiach. Vatorim Kireim Karni. That's what we're up to in the end of Perek Yutes. Page Kuf Samach. Oh, you have it. Okay, page Kuf Samach. In your print. What page is it?
Sadiq Beis.
There you go. Vatorim Kireim Karni. And my horn is going to go up like a re'em. What's a re'em? We spoke about it before, that a re'em is a type of, is one of these big animals, one of the legendary animals that we talk about in Yadus. My re'em, karnois of gvoihois mikol behema, just like a re'em, its horns are higher than that of any other animal. Lumenegeach liyemina v'lismoilog, and he goes and he gores to the right, to his left, he's very destructive, and he can take over everything. Kach Menachem ben Amiel ben Yosef karnois of gvoihois mikol behema menageach abba ruches oilam. So too Menachem, the son of Amiel, the son of Yosef, his horns are going to be higher than all animals. I think it was the Radal changes the the Radal changes the girsa to not mikol behemis, mikol b'nei adam. His horn is going to be higher than everyone else, meaning he's going to be in a higher, loftier position than everyone else. And he's going to be minageach, v'ayba ruch yisraelam, he's going to, you know, figuratively gore all four corners of the world, he's going to take over the whole world, and everyone is going to, you know, bow to this, let's say, to this figure. And he's going to sort of be in charge. He's going to be a respected figure all over the world. V'alav ma'isha, omar ma'isha, about this person, Moshe Rabbeinu said, b'char sh'ayroi hadar loy v'kaini re'im karnov. When Moshe Rabbeinu was giving the bracha to Yosef in Vezeis HaBracha, so Moshe Rabbeinu said about Yosef, B'chor Shairoi Hadarloi. He's the first shar, the firstborn shar, that's his honor. V'karni Re'im Karnov. And the horns of Re'im, those are his horns. The Bayis HaGodol, the parish on the bottom of it that you guys have, he has a very interesting discussion that when you read Karni Re'im, so you would read it as the horns of a Re'im. But according to Chazal, a Re'im only has one horn. So the Radak in Sefer Shoroshim says that what means Karni Re'im means the horns of Re'ims, like multiple Re'ims. Yeah, one Re'im has one horn, but two Re'ims have two horns. So when it says Karni in plural, it's talking about the fact that we're talking about multiple Re'ims, not because we're talking about one Re'im with multiple horns. But then he brings that Rabbi Yoel Bachur in his Pirush on the Sefer Sharashim on the Radak, for some reason didn't realize this. And he said, Kaini Re'em means the horns of one Re'em. She said it doesn't make sense because the Re'em only has one horn. Al Kaponim, the point is that this figure, Menachem ben Amiel ben Yosef, he's going to be like a Re'em, just like a Re'em is higher than everyone else, so he's going to be higher than everyone else. Who's Menachem ben Amiel ben Yosef? So, there's a concept in Yadus called Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. I'm sure we might be somewhat familiar with it. Basically, the story that we understand it is that Mashiach ben Yosef is supposed to come and start the Geula process of helping Klal Yisrael get to the Geula. And what's going to happen is that most Mefarshim explain that he's going to be killed. And then after him is going to come Mashiach ben David. And Mashiach ben David, he's going to be the actual Mashiach. And he's going to make the Malchus. And all the Goyim are going to bow down to him. That's Mashiach ben David. Now Mashiach ben Yosef is supposed to be killed. That's the Pashto. So over here we're saying that the name of Mashiach is Menachem ben Amiel ben Yosef. In other sources, the Radal and the Marzu both mention this. In other sources, it says that no, there's the two names given for Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. One is the name of Mashiach ben David is given as Menachem ben Amiel, which over here we're giving as the name as Mashiach ben Yosef, and the name for Mashiach ben Yosef is given in other sources as Nechemiah ben Chushiel. So they both cite a sefer called Sefer Zerubbabel, which for some reason the Ibn Ezra says, like, we Ramish don't hold of this sefer, it's like fear, don't believe anything you read in it. But for some reason the Rishonim from Ashkenaz held very stark of this sefer. The Rekach, Rabbi Yudal Chassid, that school of thought did hold of it. He also brings from the Zohar that the name of Mashiach ben David is going to be Menachem ben Amiel. So that's Mashiach ben David versus Mashiach ben Yosef. Two types of Mashiach. The pasuk that the Medrash over here applies, B'char Sharei Hadar Loi, is the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu said to before he died as the bracha for Shevet Yosef. Right, B'chor Shorei Hadar Loi. So Rashi over there says that the first king is going to come from Yosef. So if you look at it, Yosef, or even if you want to be a little bit more general, you have like Yosef versus Yehuda, or to be more general, you could say Rachel, children of Rachel versus the children of Leah. So you always find that the first one is going to be from Yosef, and then the second one is going to be from Yehuda. For example, let's say you talk about the Shevetim, and this is not so pushy, but this is one way of looking at it. When you talk about the Shevetim, so you could say Yeshua, who is from Shevet Ephraim, from Yosef, is the first Shevet, and then the next Shevet is Kalev, who is from Yehuda. Asniel ben Knaz, remember, he was also from Yehuda. So you have Yosef, and first Yosef, and then you have Yehuda. When you talk about the actual kings, so the first king is Shaul, who is from Binyamin, which Binyamin is Rachel, right? Yosef and Binyamin are both from Rachel. So first you have the Rachel king, and then you have David afterwards, Shaul and then David from Yehuda. Right? Then when we're talking about later on, what was supposed to be Mashiach, the Gemara, so that, you know, a lot of times people say like, such and such person, he could have been Mashiach, he was going to be Mashiach. We find already such a concept in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he was supposed to be Mashiach. Why wasn't he Mashiach? Because he didn't say Shira by the story of Sancheiv. He didn't say Shira, so he lost it. But he could have been Mashiach, right? So let's call that Mashiach ben David, because he's from the family of David, the direct descendant of David Melch. Who would have been Mashiach ben Yosef? So the Ramchal says that he doesn't say it like this, but the Ramchal says that the Achav Melech Yisrael, who was supposed to be Mashiach ben Yosef, and that he ruined it when he married Yezebel, etc. So I would say like this, that if Chizkiyahu HaMelech was supposed to be Mashiach ben David, so Achav was supposed to be Mashiach ben Yosef. And both of them, I'd say, did something to ruin and they lost it. But it would have been like that, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. And we also have, in the future, Rav Hashem, we have Mashiach ben Yosef, and then supposed to be afterwards Mashiach ben David. Fine. V'imai Rivavai Sefraim V'alfei Menashe. And with Menachem ben Amiel ben Yosef are going to be Rivavai Sefraim, multitudes of Ephraim, the Alpha and Menashe, and thousands of people from Menashe, Shenemar, and it says in the Pasuk, the Heim of the Ephraim, the Heim Alpha and Menashe. These are the multitudes of Ephraim, and these are the thousands of Menashe. That's part of the bracha of of Shevet Yosef. And we spoke about in Perek Yud Zayin, we mentioned a different pasuk in Tehillim. It says in the pasuk in Tehillim, Li Gilad Vili Menashe Ephraim Ma'iz Reishi Yehuda Mechaykiki. And we said over there that the Moisa Mashiach, when Hashem is going to gather all of Klal Yisrael from the four corners of the world, first Gilad, which is half of Shevet Menashe, and then the rest of Shevet Menashe, and then Ephraim, those are going to be the first ones to come to Eretz Yisrael. Those are going to be the first ones that are going to have the Geula. So we're talking about Mashiach ben Yosef. It says, V'imai River Reitz Ephraim, V'alfei Menashe, it's talking about this, that he's going to bring them back, but that's all he's going to do. And upon him, the kings are going to come up to kill him. Shenamar, as it says in the pasuk, Yisyatzul Malche Eretz. The kings are going to, the kings of the land are going to stand up. So we see that the kings of the land are going to come and stand up against Mashiach ben Yosef. So Chazal in there's a nevuah for Chaya in Perek Yud Beis, where the Chaya talks about B'maisa Mashiach, there's going to be a big hesped. But he doesn't explain who is this big hesped talking about. So Gemara in Masechta Sukkah, towards the end, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, says two explanations. Who is this hesped going to be on? One pshat is Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed. The other pshat is going to be on it's going to be a hesped of the Yetzer Hara. So Pashas, that means that the Gemara understood, according to one explanation, Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed. According to the second explanation, Lav Dafka is going to be killed. So here, the Radal says that all we see over here is that the Malchei Eretz, the kings of the land, are going to get up and go against Mashiach ben Yosef. We don't see over here that they're going to kill him. It just says they're going to fight him. It doesn't say they're going to kill him. That's one interesting point over here. He says that in the Kisei Arizal, apparently it says that it's not Muchach that for sure Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed. I seem to remember that the Mukubalim say, maybe you'll tell me exactly where this is, but one of the places in Shemoneh Esrei, you're supposed to have Kavana, in the Kavanas of the Mekubalim, that you're supposed to have Kavana that you're davening to Hashem that Mashiach ben Yosef shouldn't be killed. You know which line it is?
Yeah, I heard about it.
You heard about it. I don't know, there's a certain words in Shemoneh Esrei that are supposed to be meramis to that.
Yeah.
I don't remember where it is. But they say all kinds of different ideas that they say the Chaim Lublin said that Rav Shimshon Ma'astropolia, who was killed in the Chelmensky massacres in 1648, 1649, so the Chaim Lublin said that he was Mashiach ben Yosef and he was already killed. So now we're sort of just like we're waiting for the next step. It's like that's like I always call it like the optimists and the pessimists. People, if you want to be optimistic, so you'll say that the Holocaust was like already, that was Melchamas Gog u'Magog, and some big gadol who was killed in the Holocaust, he was Mashiach ben Yosef, and Rav Chaim Wasserman and Menachem Zemba, somebody like that, he was Mashiach ben Yosef, and now all we're waiting is for Mashiach ben David. That's the optimist view. The pessimist view is like, no, that was not a historical thing that happened, and no shaykhis, and then we're still destined to have to deal with Melchamas Gog u'Magog, whether it's going to be Iran or China or whoever is going to end up fighting us, and they're still looking, that's what they're looking forward to. And then after that, Mashiach ben Yosef killed them, and then Mashiach ben David. Okay. But these two things that we have in Yadus is an interesting thing that when Shabbos Etzis, Shemer Shoyim Yerkov, they say, when Shabbos Etzis wanted to say that he's Mashiach ben David, so one of the first questions that everyone asked him was, okay, if you're Mashiach ben David, so who's Mashiach ben Yosef? That's like, that's the obvious question, right? Who's Mashiach ben Yosef? So they say that this question was like something that people were so bothered by that he had to come up with an answer. So he made up a whole story that he had a Talmud who was killed in Gzeres Tachtat, and whatever, I forgot his name, Avram Alevi or something like that, that he was killed, and that guy was Mashiach ben Yosef, and he's Mashiach ben David. Okay. But that was Machayev them to make up a pshat. I just missed out a few points of it when we were talking about the name of Mashiach. So I said that over here it says that Menachem ben Amiel is the name of Mashiach ben Yosef, and other sources it says that that's the name of Mashiach ben David, and the name of Mashiach ben Yosef is Nechemiah ben Chushiel. There's an interesting piyut that we say in Slichus on the second day of Aser Simei Tshuva. The last line in the piyut, in Nusach, at least in Nusach Ashkenaz, it's Slicha Samech Hei. The last line in the piyut is, Tanachim le'ir habnuya, Hashem should console the rebuilt city. Temaher Tishbi Menachem u'Nechemya. He should quickly bring Tishbi, Menachem, and Nechemya. So So Tishbi, we know, is like Eliyahu Navi, Eliyahu Tishbi, etc. So Eliyahu Navi, Menachem, who's Menachem? Menachem ben Amiel, Mashiach ben David. Benachemia, what? In Pirkei Avos it says Menachem is Mashiach ben Yosef.
Oh, okay.
But other places it says Menachem is Mashiach ben David. Benachemia, and Nechemia is Nechemia ben Chushil, which is Mashiach ben Yosef. Okay. You're right. It's out of order, right? Okay, the out of order doesn't really bother me so much, because otherwise it doesn't matter. And then it says Tamar Tishbi Nechemia and Nechemia. Menachem and Nechemia. So it would have to, you have to put Nechemia afterwards, because otherwise it doesn't rhyme. I think that's the Pashup chat. And I forgot to mention a Gemara. This is an important Gemara when we're talking about the name of Mashiach. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Tzadik Chesam and Beis. The Gemara says, "What's the name of Mashiach? What is the name of Mashiach? Mashmoy." So the Gemara says, "Debeir Mashila Ami Shila Ishmoy." His name is Shiloi. Rabbi Yannai says his name is Yinoi. Rabbi Chanina says his name is Chanina. V'yesh Amim, his name is Menachem ben Chizkiah. So there's four shittas in the Gemara, and each one says it like similar to the name of their Rebbe. Debei Chizk, right? Debei Rabbi Shila, in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shila, they said his name is Shiloi. Rabbi Yannai says his name is Yinoi. Right? In the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Chanina, they say his name is Chanina. V'yesh Amim Menachem. I think it was the Maral. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but I think the Maral in Chiddush HaGadol and this Gemara says that each person saw a certain midah of their Rebbe that they said that midah is something that's a requirement for Mashiach.
Mashiach, because it came before the time of the Gemara?
Why?
Because if they're making the Rebbe into Mashiach, then
so this Gemara doesn't talk about. Isn't clear if we're talking about Mashiach ben David or Mashiach ben Yosef. The truth is that there are some shitas that don't even hold that there's such a thing as Mashiach ben Yosef. I forgot to mention that. The Rambam never mentions such a thing as Mashiach ben Yosef. The Rambam just talks about Mashiach, and Mashiach is going to be a melech from Beis David. In some places the Rambam also says from Beis Shlomoy. It's a steer. If the Rambam holds that Mashiach has to be a descendant of David and Shlomoy, or just David. But it's not clear if it's Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. But there's four shitas in the Gemara over here. They say a remez that it's Rashi Tevis of the word Mashiach. The word Mashiach is Rashi Tevis. Menachem, Shiloi, Yinoin, and Chananya. These are the four names that the Gemara brings for the name of Mashiach. So how do we paskin from this Gemara? It's not clear. The Gemara just brings a whole bunch of the shittas. But I found a beautiful thing. I found a beautiful shtickle over here, also in Slichas. This is Slicha Mem Vav. From Tzem Gedalia. This is what we say on Tzem Gedalia. This is a chosh of a slicha because it was written by Rashi. So Rashi writes like this. In the middle of this slicha, he's talking about the Evan Ashsia, the stone in the Beis Hamikdash that the world was built from. Right. So it says Revutz Olav Evan Shchatuvim. The Evan Shtia is there in the Beis Hamikdash. Shame Yinoin Allah Chakuk b'Michtavim. The name Yinoin is inscribed on the Evan Shtia. Torah Shema Mafresh b'Savi Galubim, and the description of the Shema Mafresh of Hashem is also written over there. So Rashi says two things. Rashi says that the name of Mashiach Yinoin is going to be inscribed on the Evan Shtia, and also the Shema Hashem is inscribed. So he understands that the name of Mashiach is Yinoin. Maybe, I don't know. What?
Interesting.
You have to write it down in a second. That was Slicha Mem Vav in Nusach Ashkenaz.
According to that, how did the Amirov learn about the Rabbeim?
What?
Because you mentioned four different names,
eh? Yeah.
So you have like three different names which was written on the Evan Ashkenaz.
Yeah, I don't know. There's another thing. This is, I don't know if this is no shaykhas, but it's interesting because we're talking about, because this year is a Shemitah year, so we're talking about Shemitah, and Shemitah's Ksafim is at the end of the year. So in the Ramon, in Cheshin Mishpah and Simon Samach Zayin, when it's talking about writing, you're supposed to write a Prozbo or whatever, so the Ramon says that, he's like giving you like a Pasha to, how do you know what year is Shemitah? So the Ramon tells you that from when I'm writing, the next year that's going to be Shemitah is Shin Lamed Dalet, which is 1574. And then he says, but you won't have to write, and but then you won't have to then you won't have to write a prosbul until right before the next year, because the Shemitah's Kesafah is at the end of the year. And then, but the way he writes it is Ad Ki Yavoi Shin Lamed Hey. Instead of writing Ad Ki Yavoi Shiloi, like the Pasuk says by that the Gemara brings, that's the name of Mashiach, Shiloi, Ad Ki Yavoi Shin Lamed Hey. So it's like being Meramis to the Indian that the name of Shiloi is the name of Mashiach. He's saying that that's the name of Mashiach, and that's the next year after Shemitah. That's a cute Nukud in the Ramah. What?
If you wouldn't have
It could be. The Gemara doesn't. I don't. As far as I know, the Gemara doesn't say about Shlomo Melech that he could have been Mashiach. It could be. He could have been. I don't have a source that says that. If you find the source, Adam.
I don't have a source either.
Shin Lamed Hei
a few years ago.
Not Shin Lamed Hei. Shin
Lamed Hei. I'm saying.
1575, not 1975. Yeah. Okay. So the next pasuk is. What's the next pasuk? Vatarim Kerim Gani Balaisi B'Shemin. Ah, Balaisi B'Shemin Ranan. V'Yisrael Sheba'aretz. Mitzvah Gedela. Klal Yisrael, who's in Yisrael, are going to be in great distress at that point when the kings of the land come up against Mashiach ben Yosef. Avot Tzaros and Kizayis Ranan. I don't understand what this means, but their tzar, their distress, is going to be like a refreshing olive. Shinama, it says, Pasuk Baloisi B'Shemen Ranan. Art scroll translated as they're saturated in refreshing oil. I don't know what that means. That it's going to be refreshing.
I know what it means.
What does it mean?
It means that eventually we're going to see that the Goyim are really anti-Semitic, and it's going to be refreshing. We're going to know that the Goyim really hate us, and Hashem is going to be the one that's really going to save us.
Could be.
The art scroll explanation is there.
What does it say?
The Shemin Ranan, with oil that is ever fresh. Oil is a common scriptural smile for
symbol.
Sorry. Simile for blessing. Why am I going to pick an American to prosperity and supremacy? Rashi. So there's a Rashi here.
Okay, but I don't know if Rashi is not necessarily going with the Maharach of Pirkei Deblezer that this Parak of Tillim is talking about Yemei Mashiach. So he could be talking about it in general. Now, I'm not sure exactly how it fits into this line.
Shemin has everything to do with him, right? He's hush.
So yeah. if oil is his blessing,
that's the point.
What is a fresh blessing?
If you shem it on him, right? That's what it means to be.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
You think it's like a new. Oh, shkoya. Okay. The next pasuk, Vatabed Eini Bishuray, my eyes saw the people who are coming up against me. Yisrael, and the end of the pasuk is Vatabed Eini Bishuray, but call me Walay Mirayim, when the people who do bad come up against me, Tishmana Oznai, my ears hear it. So there's like two levels of like the enemies are coming against you, one that you see and one that you hear. So it says, Yisrael Shebe'aretz, Yisrael who are living in Eretz Yisrael at the time are going to see Royin b'mapatam shesalim. They're going to see the downfall of their enemies. Shneimar, it says the pasuk, V'atabet eini b'shurai. My eyes are going to see those people. But the people, and the Radal speaks out, but the people that aren't in Eretz Yisrael, they're only going to be becoming olim reim tishmen or oznai. They're only going to hear about it. They're not going to actually see it because they're not in Eretz Yisrael. They're going to hear about it, but they're not going to see it. But The next pasuk says, Tzadik katama yifroch. The tzadik is going to grow like a date. Matzmara zu noe b'mariha v'chol pereseha misukim v'tevim. Just like this tzmara, this date is beautiful. It looks very nice. It's beautiful in its appearance, and all of its fruits are sweet and good. Kach ben David noe b'marehu uchvadei. So too, the son of David, meaning Mashiach, is going to be nice in his appearance, meaning Mashiach is going to be a good-looking guy, it seems, uchvoidai, and he's going to be nice in his covet, he's going to be like a mechubedika person. And all the deeds of Mashiach are going to be good and sweet in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Medrash says. Now, this is going to be a very controversial part of the shiur over here. The Radal says, what does it mean, call myself Tavim and Sukim Fanei Kadosh Baruch Hu? Means that everything he did is going to be good in the terms of Tavim, Tavim Hu Lebrius, and Mesukim Lanachas Ruach Lashamayim. It's going to be good for people, and it's going to be sweet in front of Hashem. Everyone is going to like what this guy does. He's going to be a nice guy. Everyone is going to accept him, etc. That's what the Radal says. That could be the Pashup shot in what the Medrash is saying over here. Rabbi Leomi Izmir says what I consider a very problematic idea over here. Rabbi Leomi Izmir is Pirish V'loy Oid Ella. He says like this. He wants to make a whole diuk in what the Medrash says. He says, what Mashiach Ben David is going to do is going to be Kol Ma'aseiv Tovim U'Mesukim L'Fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. All his deeds are going to be good and sweet in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But in front of people, he's going to be doing Ma'aseiv Mechorim, disgusting things. This is what he says. Mashiach is going to be doing things that people are going to look at as mamish disgusting and despicable acts or whatever. But Hashem knows that really he's doing a good thing. That's what Rabbi Leomi Izmir says. And he says that the Tama Davar, the reason behind this, is because in order to bring out the Nitzutzus of Kedusha in the Klipus, yeah, you know what that means? Yeah. To bring out the Nitzutzus of Kedusha in the Klipus, so you have to do bad things in order to bring out the good from the bad things.
Not all the time, but sometimes different.
This is what Rabbi Leomi Izmir says. I find this passage very, very difficult. Why do I find it difficult?
That's what Shabbat Tzvi said.
This is exactly what Shabbat Tzvi said.
He said that I'm taking all the Klippas and doing all the affairs in the third.
Exactly.
Can I play
Shabbat Tzvi? What? Yeah. In order, there's something called, basically, that when Klai Yisrael went into Golos, yeah, so Api Kabbalah, the Shechina also went into Golos and spread out Nitzaitzus of Kedusha all over the world and in every different aspect of the world. Yeah. And in order to bring back those Nitzaitzus of Kedusha, sometimes those Nitzaitzus of Kedusha end up in like really bad places. And the only way to bring it out is like to go into a bad place. Right? So what he's saying is that you have to go do those bad things to bring out those Nitzaitzus of Kedusha in order to bring the Geula. But this, as Rabbi Felder correctly pointed out, is exactly the basis for the theology of Shabbat Tzvi. Shabbat Tzvi will tell you, I have to bring out the Nitzaitzus of Kedusha, so I have to do the eat chalev or be over ishis ish or whatever in order to bring out the kedusha so that the gula can happen.
Yeah.
This is what Shabbat Tzvi said. So yeah. Rabbi Leomi Izmir is saying an idea here, which is mamish. The only source for it is in the writings of Nasan of Aza, who was the quote unquote navi of Shabbat Tzvi. He was mechadesh this idea. Let me just first say what we have to say over here, and maybe you'll explain it to us in a moment. So I looked, I found this passage. I was like, "Mom is very bothered by this. I have to look into like find out what's pshat in Rabbi Leomi Izmir." So it just gets even worse from there. I found an essay from Dr. Gershon Sholem. You ever heard of Dr. Gershon Sholem? He was a professor in the Hebrew University. He was like the world's expert in Kabbalah. Expert, not academic expert in Kabbalah. He actually brought the study of Kabbalah to the academic world. And he died in the 70s, I think. Wow. Yeah, I think so. Sometime in the 70s. He brought like the authoritative book on Shabbat Tzvi. He was the one who said that Shabbat Tzvi was manic depressive, whatever. Gershon Sholem was definitely an expert in his field. One of the things he likes to do is try to say that everyone's a Shabbat Tzvinik. That's just one of his pet peeves. So he writes about Rabbi Leomi Izmir in one of his essays that Rabbi Leomi Izmir, the author of this Pirush on Rabbi Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, he writes he was a Shabbat Tzvinik. And he points to three places in Rabbi Leomi Izmir's writings where Rabbi Leomi Izmir writes this idea that Mashiach is going to do bad things, but Hashem likes those things. That's this idea that we're talking about right here. Rabbi Leomi Izmir repeats it again in Medrash Talpiyos on the words Oseis Mashiach and in his Sefer Medrash HaYisamari, Drush Yudches and Drush Yudtes. And from those places, without citing over here as Pirush and Pirkei Rabbi, Dr. Gershon Sholem says that Rabbi Leomi Izmir was a Shabbat Tzvinik. Now, I don't really care what Gershon Sholem has to say, because he's a professor, and he wasn't even from. In fact, I heard a story from my Rebbe, Rabbi Arnie Wittenstein. He said that one time a friend of his was at a bris, and Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook was at the bris, and Gershon Sholem was at the bris. Now, Tzvi Yehuda Cook, one of the big influencers of religious Zionism, and one of the big tenets of religious Zionism, the Dati Lumi, they're very into Avos Yisrael and being friendly with everybody, whatever. Tzvi Kook refused to shake hands with Gershon Sholem. Okay, that's who Gershon Sholem was. He wasn't a frum guy. So what he says, you know, we don't have to accept what he says. But he makes a good point that Rabbi Leo Me'izrit does say this idea, and now we have it in four places, that it seems to be is influenced by Shabbos Tzvi writings. You could say, first of all, you could say that someone added it into his form. Maybe you could say that. You know, fine. Even if it wasn't added, even if it was written by him, maybe you could say he was somewhat influenced by it, or he innocently copied some ideas from there, but that doesn't mean that he was part of that group. But even if he was part of that group, I don't know if that means, I don't know if that's so bad. So he made a mistake. So that means that...
There's no pshat. Why taking that thing
from
the
other?
Like, it's not
a pshat. What is the source for Ben
Tzvi? What?
Of
this idea, yeah.
No, who's the source for him to say? You said
for him,
he
say that.
He got it from somewhere else.
Where did Shabbos Tzvi get it from?
Yeah.
No, they made it up.
You said that he got it from.
No, Nathan of Gaza.
Who was that?
Nathan of Gaza was. He was like involved. He was like Shabbos Tzvi's sort of partner in crime. He was in a way he was really the guy that was sort of driving the whole situation. Because if like Shabbos Tzvi was like crazy, he was like the guy who wasn't crazy, who was like actually like doing things and writing Sfarim and
like Saul,
like Saul and Paul, yeah.
Built that whole thing there.
In a way. What?
The guy was in charge of the money.
No, that he was in charge of, like, he wrote letters to everyone, and he was like Goebbels. Yeah, here we go. He was like Goebbels.
He would have the brain behind it.
Okay, so yes, Rabbi Bates, what do you want to say?
I want to say that the Rebbe insisted that the Baal Shivas who were out in the world with all the clippers, when they came back and they did tshuva, they brought all their earnestness with them, and the Rebbe raised them up.
Ah, so that's a very nice idea, but this is not that. Here he's saying that I'm going to go out and do bad things to bring out those necessities of Kedusha. I'm not saying a guy who didn't know anything and did something bad and now he wants to become frum, so that brings what he did bad before, so now it becomes Kedusha.
Okay, imagine the Rebbe did things that I told him they considered wrong. He made people that were completely fly. Yeah, they were non-religious. They never washed their hands before they got up from the Tzedek HaDayim. He made them put on tefillin, and he made 3-year-old girls light Shabbat candles. And all the rabbis of the generation went against the Rebbe. So you could say that the Rebbe was doing something wrong.
No, the big difference. That's a halachic machlekes. You know, should we do this? Should we do that? So some people say do this, some people say do that. Here we're saying something that everyone agrees is bad and wrong and aser. Maisim mechuarim, putting on single girls lighting Shabbos candles. That's not called maisim mechuarim. Some people say you should do it. Some people say you shouldn't do it.
Yeah,
but this is like mamish, like evil, disgusting things. It's like.
He went against the Rebbe. He said the Rebbe was not good. The Rebbe violated halacha. The Rebbe did this. The Rebbe did that. He mamish went against the Rebbe.
Okay, that's machlokes.
Did anyone bring up Shalom and Rabbi Eliyahu
Yisrael? What?
Did anyone bring it up?
No.
Shalom.
I mean, the Radal said that it means he's going to do things good for everyone's going to agree that it's good. The Radal made a deal. No, the Rabbi Eliyahu Yisrael said a deal that no, it's only going to be good for any Hashem, but not for any Abrius.
But look, it cannot be that the guy is looking for whatever he was doing, like eating chaylev or arayos or whatever. It's not good in a Hashem, so it's not a pshat. So the guy, maybe the guy's doing like this, it's not taking a bath.
No,
something like that. I don't know. It cannot be pshat. A bear's cannot be pshat.
No, because he's saying that al pi kabbalah, Hashem wants you to do it, even though it seems like it's a bad thing. Okay, wait up. What? No, I wanna finish the parak,
okay.
And then we'll stop, and then it, depending what time it is, we'll try to start the next parak. Okay, let's go back there. Ke'eretz Balvana in Yiska, he's gonna grow up like a cedar in the Lebanon. Ma'eretz Balvana in Sharasha Merubim Lamata Baretz. just like a cedar in the Lebanon has many roots down deep in the ground, and even if the strongest winds of the world come and try to push it down, it's never going to be able to move the cedar, which is so rooted, so strongly rooted in the ground. Kach ben David, so to ben David, Mashiach, his deeds and his powers in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are going to be great. Even if all the enemies of Kali, so all the, or other Nusach says, all the Rishoyim come up against him, and they can't move him. Shinema, says the Pasuk, and the Radal says, it's saying that we're talking about Mashiach ben David as opposed to Mashiach ben Yosef, who it seems that the Goyim will be able to destroy. Okay. Shesulim beveis Hashem, planted in the house of Hashem. Also the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Kaveis Kol Yisrael me'aba kanfes ha'aretz. Kadosh Baruch Hu is destined to gather the Jews from all four corners of the world. Yep. You guys might have heard this idea from Menashe ben Israel. He was the Rav in Amsterdam in the 1700s. So we know that the Jews were kicked out of England in the 1200s. By the time of the Bali Tesis, they were kicked out of England. So how is it that there's Jews in England now? So we can thank Rabbi Menashe ben Israel for that. Rabbi Menashe ben Israel was one of the Choshev Rabbanim in Amsterdam. He wrote a sefer called Nishmas Chaim, which is like Kabbalah and the science and philosophy, whatever. And he also wrote a sefer called Mikveh Yisrael. But Rabbi Menashe ben Israel spoke to the Lord Protectorate, I think was his title, Oliver Cromwell. I think it was titled Lord Protector of England, Oliver Cromwell, who was in charge of England at the time. And he spoke to me, told him that, look, you know, you don't let Jews in your country, you know, you're being ma'akev Mashiach from coming, because we know that the Messiah is going to come, he's going to gather the Jews from all four corners of the world. If you don't let them to England, then they won't be in the four corners of the world, because that corner will be missing Jews. So Oliver Cromwell accepted this argument that he let the Jews back into England. This is what they say about Rabbi Menashe ben Israel. So Mashiach is going to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and gather all the Jews from four corners of the world. Kagayin Haganan Hazel, like this gardener, Shinetea Me'arugo Arugo, who's going to move his plants from one patch to another patch. Like if the gardener looks at what he has growing, and he decides, no, this will grow better if I move it over here, so he'll uproot it from here and put it back over here. So that's the mashal to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kach asir the Kadosh Baruch Hu lita Yisrael me'eretz Yisrael me'eretz Tzahara. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to uproot Kal Yisrael from the impure land and plant them back into the pure land. Shneur it says in the pasuk, Shesurim beveis Hashem, planted in the house of Hashem. When Hashem is going to replant Kal Yisrael in the house of Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael. And like grass of the field, they're going to grow and they're going to sprout in the Beis HaMikdash. Chal Yisrael is going to vox ois in the Beis HaMikdash. Shneur it says in the pasuk, b'chatzes elikeno yafrichu. In the courtyard of our God, they're going to sprout. Oyd yunuvun b'seva. They're going to continue giving our fruit in their old age. Just like old age is a hadar, is an honor, and it's a splendor of old people, like the seva is like when they're getting covered and stuff. So too these people, I'm not sure who it's talking about, but I think it's talking about the tzaddikim. They're going to be the hadar and the covered of Klal Yisrael. Shneimar it says in the pasuk, they're going to be fat and they're going to be refreshed. Even though they're old, Balois, even though they're old, Balois Bashan Rana, but they're still going to be the Shin Rana Miyu. Why is all of this? This is the last line of the parak. Why all of this? Lahagi Kyasha Hashem, to teach that Hashem is straight. Why is Hashem doing all of this? The Radal says, why is Hashem doing this whole thing, this whole cycle of allowing the Rishoyim to be Matzliach, and then destroying them, and then having the Gu'ul, etc.? Why is Hashem doing that? Lahagid, to tell, lahalal, to praise, ulashainen, and to teach us koyach maisav shal kodesh baruch hu, the power of the deeds of kodesh baruch hu. To teach us what? Ulahagid shu tzadik v'yosher v'ein ovel. To teach us that kodesh baruch hu is tzadik v'yosher. He's righteous and he's straight. And there's no ovel. There's no, how do you translate ovel?
Crookedness.
There's no crookedness. Shneimar it says in the pasuk, the last line, Suri v'lo yavlasabai. Hashem is my rock, v'lo yavlasabai. There's no ovel in Hashem. There's no crookedness in Hashem. There's a similar pasuk in Hazinu, Hatzur tamim polo kichol derechov mishpat kel emunah ve'ein ovel. So over there it says also tzur and ein ovel. So Hashem is going to do all of this to show that everything is just, and Hashem has chashbonos for everything. I think this is also referring back to what we spoke about last week. Why is it that Hashem allows the Rishoyim to be Matzliach and then destroys them? So what we're talking about is, so we said from Rashi and Tehillim, that the Pshat is, like we spoke about many times already, that Hashem allows Rishoyim in Olam Hazeh to get their reward for the good things that they did. Because we said everyone does good and everyone does bad. So even the Rishoyim are going to do good, and even the Tzaddikim are going to do bad. So the Rishoyim that do good, they're going to get the reward in this world. So that's why Hashem allows them to grow. And then we're talking about Olam Haba, then Hashem says just cut them off, because in Olam Haba that's when they get their punishment, right? So I think that that's what this line in the Medrash is talking about. That Hashem is Tzaddik V'yashar V'ein Ovel, everything is straight, everything is the punishment. The Rishoyim get their reward, and then they get their punishment, and that's how it works.
And the Tzaddik, they give the punishment in this world,
right? Yeah, that's not exactly, that's not what we're talking about at this point, but that's also true. Fine.